Welcome to episode 1 of the BitCast. In this series, I'm going to talk about video games, about the video games I love. Video games are my favorite thing. I've been surrounded by video games ever since I was a child. I would watch my dad play Super Mario World for Super Nintendo, and from there, it was love at first sight, practically. I would always watch him play more video games. I would play alongside my brother. For as long as I could remember, I always loved video games. And even more than that, I loved the music of video games. It's what you listen to while you're doing everything in the game. You can always hear it whenever something's going on. And it's really unfortunate that a lot of people don't seem to recognize the quality soundtracks that exist in video games. If you just go onto iTunes, you could listen to some Sonic the Hedgehog music, or Pokemon music even, and if you just give them the time of day, you'll find you've got some really good listening. And that's always been just something I've noticed. One time my brother came up to me, he was like, "Why do you always focus on the music in video games?" And honestly, it just caught my attention and never let go. Now I have the chance to share my love of video games with all of you in this podcast. Talk about awesome soundtracks, talk about fun facts about a game's development, and share some personal experiences. This is what it's all been building up to. So it's all downhill from here. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, today's first episode is about The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild. It's the latest in Nintendo's prestigious Legend of Zelda series, which spans all the way back to 1986 with the original The Legend of Zelda. On March 3rd of 2017, Nintendo finally released Breath of the Wild for both the Nintendo Wii U and the Nintendo Switch. This was also the release date for the Nintendo Switch itself, so it's a lot like back in 2006 when they released The Legend of Zelda: Twilight Princess for both the Nintendo GameCube and the Nintendo Wii. Fun fact, Twilight Princess is now available for the Nintendo GameCube, Wii, and the Wii U. So if they make one for the Switch eventually, it'll be like a regular thing where they just keep putting versions of Twilight Princess on their new Nintendo consoles. In fact, the Wii U has 3 main Zelda titles on it now. Not only does it have Breath of the Wild and the Twilight Princess remake, it also has the Wind Waker remake, and it has Hyrule Warriors, the crossover with the Dynasty Warriors games. The Wii U is a great console for Zelda fans. Just too bad that the Wii U didn't get the love that it deserved. Anyway, a series with as much clout as Zelda, many people have a clue of what to expect. You're the guy in green, you're Link, and you explore a bunch of temples to solve puzzles, beat monsters, and get to the end. You'll find different items and keys along the way to make adventuring even easier. At some point, you'll get a special magic sword, and you have to use it to defeat the big bad guy, Ganon, sometimes known as Ganondorf, but either way, you gotta get rid of him. And if it's not him, it's some big scary monster that looks kind of like him. And there's usually a princess named Zelda who will help you along the way. It's her legend. It'd be kind of weird if she didn't play a role. There's always a joke where people mistake Link for Zelda, but I think most people have the idea by now. I don't see a lot of people making that mistake anymore. Games are considered to be part of the action-adventure genre. Breath of the Wild, on the other hand, reinvents the series by, ironically enough, going back to how the original game handled things. The first game in the series had more of an exploration focus. They just dropped you off in the middle of the world, wished you luck, and that was all the help you got. You get some cryptic, poorly translated hints, but otherwise you were on your own. But as the series went on, more story elements were included, and the exploration gradually took less priority because they wanted to focus more on combat and puzzles and storytelling. Breath of the Wild, though, they harken back to the first game's ideologies. Link wakes up in the decrepit temple, and from there, he almost has complete freedom to do whatever he wants. There are a few tutorials he needs to get through, but they're all very brief and hands-off. And after a while, the game can be played in just about any way. Even in the tutorial, you can do a lot of things in different ways. And once you get out, you can skip the whole game and just go fight Ganon immediately if you wanted to. You'd have to be pretty good at the game to do it, but it's available. It reminds me of Chrono Trigger, actually, a game for the Super Nintendo where you could beat the game within the first hour or so if you really wanted to and were tough enough. The appeal of Breath of the Wild is that it grants the players almost complete freedom. The world is vast and sprawling with little secrets and moments of lore. And with that comes new gameplay elements. Now there's more of an emphasis on Link's survival. The player can't just cut down bushes and collect hearts. No, he has to forage for food now. And that food's not going to be too useful unless he cooks it properly and tries different recipes. There's also the weather to worry about. If it's too hot or too cold, that's going to hurt Link. And if he's wearing any metal during a lightning storm, ooh, that's not going to be pretty. Keeping track of Link's weapons, arrows, and shields is another responsibility because those can and will break, and he's going to need to find replacements pretty often. There's plenty to pick up and use, so running out of weapons is never an option. However, the opposite problem is true. Link only has so many inventory slots, so he can't hold on to too many weapons at once. This can be fixed by looking around for acorns and giving them to this talking tree guy who'll give you more inventory slots. What do you mean that sounds silly? But anyway, the game does its best to portray just how difficult it would be to travel across the wide untamed wilderness. With a game as vast as this one, just how would they cover the music, though? There's so many areas to explore, it would be a Herculean effort to capture the spirit of so many places and events in this game with the proper music. And the answer is that they generally don't. There are times where music plays, like in the scattered villages and dungeons, but even then, those are mostly for atmospheric effect. As Link explores the wilderness, there's no actual music in the background. An occasional piano sting might play, and the presence of monsters, mobs of monsters, in most cases, will give you a small melody that's really simplistic. It's just kind of a dum-dum-dum, bum, da-da-dum-dum. And, that gets into more of a song as the monsters last longer, but still, it's not very much music. This game tends to be light on music. Really goes a long way towards showing just how Link feels being alone in the wide wilderness of Hyrule. Just imagine being on the top of a mountain surrounded by fields of grass, no settlements are nearby or anything. You think there's going to be a lot of music playing? No. Welcome to the wild. Breath of the Wild. For what music there is, it's credited to Manaaka Kadooka and Yasuaki Iwata. Kadooka is a graduate from Kobe University in Japan and has worked with Nintendo ever since 2006. She's done some work on Nintendo's Animal Crossing series and even had stuff to do with a past Zelda game, The Legend of Zelda: Spirit Tracks. That game was released for the Nintendo DS, and it featured a different version of Link as a train engineer exploring across a different version of Hyrule to assist Zelda in getting her body back after she's been reduced to a ghost. So you can tell that the series has had a lot of different premises, a lot of different angles and plot lines, so it's good to see that they can still keep it fresh. Anyway, Yasuaki Iwata, the other composer, began working with Nintendo more recently, starting in 2013 with Super Mario 3D World. That game had a really jazzy, big band sounding theme to a lot of its music. And that's obviously not the case here, but it's good that Nintendo is also showing a lot of variety in their music. One series isn't going to have music a lot like the other one would. While I feel there's not enough music in the game, what music is still there is very enjoyable. Every time you complete a major dungeon in the game, you face off against a smaller form of Ganon, a Blight Ganon. And for each battle, they play the same music, but slightly different in each version. The Wind Blight Ganon is unique in that it makes use of the accordion, for instance, and other versions don't. And it's just really cool to see how they unify each of the boss themes by making them all the same song, but keeping the instrumentation a little different from each other. It gives them all their own individual flavors while consolidating them into the same category. I love it when battle music is tailored to suit the different combatants. Even more, each version of that theme incorporates Ganon's leitmotif. It's been used throughout the series, starting with Zelda: A Link to the Past. Every time you're near Ganon, it's always like dum da dum da dum da dum. And in this battle theme against the Blight Ganons, that plays as like the song kind of builds up to the climax before looping around again. It's really cool and a nice love letter to the music of the past of the series. Now for a section I'm going to be doing in every episode, today's favorite songs. I'm just going to pick a handful of favorite songs from each game. Not all my favorites, but enough that I would recommend listening to, and kind of go into what I like about them and why I would recommend them. Today's favorite songs are the theme of Yiga Master Koga, the theme of Rito Village, and the Windblight Ganon theme. I would highly recommend listening to all three of these tracks. Master Koga's theme, and that's K-O-H-G-A, is an energetic tune, and it sounds like it came right out of an old kung fu movie, which is a really unique sound for the rest of this game's soundtrack. It's really lively, too. Just a fun theme to listen to. Rito Village, R-I-T-O, is a slow and melancholic arrangement of the theme of Dragon Roost Island from Zelda Wind Waker. The theme itself is popular among Zelda fans, and on both occasions have featured the race of characters known as the Rito. They're these bird people. In Wind Waker, they were more just people who had bird features, while in Breath of the Wild, they're bipedal birds. And it's just a nice callback to hear this song again, and it's associated with the Ritos again. So now it's official, this is their music. And just the new tone of the song, instead of a lively rendition of the song, it's slow and, like I said, it's melancholic. It's just kind of reminding you way back in the early 2000s when Wind Waker was first released. And of course, Windblight Ganon gets my recommendation for that accordion usage that I enjoy. What's even more is Windblight Ganon is the villain of the Rito area of the game, and you actually meet a Rito character who plays the accordion. So it's kind of like reminding you of just who you're fighting for when you're facing off against the Windblight Ganon. It's really cool. If I could be entirely honest, though, Zelda is my second favorite series of all time, right after Super Mario. And I love just about every game in the Zelda series, even some of the more divisive ones. But I'm not the biggest fan of Breath of the Wild. I think it did a lot of great things, and some of them I want them to keep doing. I want to see certain things done again in future Zelda games. But I feel like while they were trying to reinvent the wheel, they've lost track of a lot of things that made Zelda fun. Sure, we're going back to how the original game did things, but I feel like they went too far back to their roots. Sometimes there's a reason why a series evolves over the years. Furthermore, that relative lack of music doesn't sit right with me. What am I gonna listen to while I'm playing the game? You just want me to mute the TV and pull up YouTube or something? Listen to another Hubbard podcast, maybe? Well, I'm of the belief that exploring in a video game should have some kind of suitable music to go along with it to encourage the player to keep going, to go beyond. And if you're just listening to the sounds of the wilderness, it's immersive if you're into that, but I'm not really the kind of guy who needs to feel immersed in the game world. I'm just happy to play along. However, a lot of people really adore this game, and I can see why. It did a lot of good things. I wouldn't call it a bad game by any means. While I haven't actually finished the game myself, I still want to come back to it eventually just to say that I beat it, because I owe one of my favorite series that much, I think. It's got this expansive world in a game that's just fun to navigate, and it's just fun to see all the different things you can see, to do all the little activities and secret things that you can do, and just make your own fun. The sensibility that's lost on gamers as they grow older and become more task-oriented. I remember when I was a kid, I could just turn on video games and just play around for a few hours, not even doing anything in the game, just messing around. And that's something I don't really do anymore. So for that, I can appreciate Breath of the Wild for calling out to the inner child.